This is Josh Sumby, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Drayton, North Dakota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning. Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan. We'll also hear reports from Whitney Pittman and Tyler Donaldson. The International Sugar Beet Institute beet show wrapped up yesterday. Some of the talk was planting season that could come early this year. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has more.
Speaking with NDSU sugar beet extension agronomist Tom Peters, what's going on at NDSU that you guys has you guys talking going into the 2024 planting season?
I guess I'm like everybody else. I'm thinking about an early spring. So I'm thinking, well, what does that mean for a weed scientist? And I want to start by saying we've had late springs the last 2 years. I think our average planting date in 2023 in Crystal territory was about the 10th of May, and it was even later in 2022. So what does an early spring look like? So I want to talk about two weeds, water hemp and kochia. First, water hemp. Water hemp germinates and emerges in Grand Forks, North Dakota, about the 15th of May. So I think the strategy that you have for controlling water hemp in 2024 is going to be different than what we've done in the previous years based on an earlier planting date. So I think that's a big deal. What about kochia? And it's almost the opposite. Kochia is one of the earliest weeds in the spring. And sometimes we get the first flush of kochia with tillage, sometimes without tillage. So again, I think we're going to have to be really, really careful about kochia management and scouting for kochia, just because it's going to be the predominant weed potentially at planting time this year. So I guess that's Tyler, what I've spent a lot of time thinking about and communicating to people that are willing to listen to me.
Are you hearing anything else or having any other conversations weed related here at ISBI?
Yeah, we have a new active ingredient. We had an introduction in 2023 of SpinAid, but it's going to be more formal in 2024. And I think SpinAid is going to help us a lot, especially so it helps us on broadleaf weeds post-emergence. And it's going to especially be important on kochia, one of those weeds that I mentioned. And I think the real important message is we've got to identify the kochia early when it's small, because that's the best time to get kochia, and especially with SpinAid.
That was NDSU sugar beet extension agronomist Tom Peters. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
Stephen, Minnesota farmer John Fields expects to wait until April before heading to the field. Fields says moisture conditions, though, seem to be in pretty decent shape.
Being up north there, we didn't have the drought that they had further south. We didn't fight the drought. It didn't affect us near like it was. We were a little on the drier side, but our soil moistures are a little bit more in line with where we need to be. If we have a dry season, I think we would tend to the drier side. But in general, we were able to escape that last year, and we feel like we're prepared pretty good. The soil was prepared good last year. Last fall it went in, prepared well for next year.
And some planting plans may shift yet this spring.
There's always some rotation changes. We leave a little bit to the end just based on the markets. You know, they'll tell us what to plant. But overall, that's not a big change in what we'll do. Fertilizer, there's always fertilizing to do in the spring. We try to do a lot in the fall, but there's always some to do in the spring. Like I said, the ground is prepared really well, so we hope to have minimal tillage in the spring. As little as possible, anyway, to reduce that compaction. And it's shaping up to be a good start to the year.
The weekly U.S. Drought Monitor continues to show mixed conditions. Parts of Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, southern Missouri, southeastern Kansas saw improved conditions due to heavy rains received. Moderate drought expanded in northwest Missouri, west central and far northeast Wisconsin, Minnesota, northwest Iowa, and parts of Michigan. Parts of southeast South Dakota and Nebraska also saw a small expansion of their abnormal dryness condition, and North Dakota was unchanged from last week. The North Dakota Department of Water Resources has launched an interactive aquifer map. That map will provide information on the feasibility of capturing excess surface water and the potential for managed aquifer recharge. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Spring planting right around the corner, and fieldwork could begin sooner rather than later. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has more.
Farmers Business Network account manager Tom Bjordahl says this spring could see a different trend for inputs than we've gotten used to over the last few years.
We're seeing historically low prices for some of the inputs that we manufacture and sell direct to farm. As a result of that, we've also seen a shift to the right in buying patterns for farmers. It's not as big a serious issue as it has been over the last couple of years. The volatility in the market seems to have stabilized a little bit. So we're having to shift our business a little bit to kind of respond to that. We're coming up with some new and creative ways to do that, not only with the pricing and attractive pricing and cash discounts, but access to 0% financing options for farmers.
Bjordahl says there are still a lot of moving pieces for farmers putting together planting plans. A more certain supply chain may allow for some last-minute changes.
The commodity prices have also impacted some of those choices and decisions, and I think we're going to see acres shift from one crop to the other yet before we get out in the field, just because, you know, farmers need to be really tuned into what can they earn the most money on that acre with. And so we're seeing shifts in crops from corn to soybeans, or soybeans back to corn, depending on where they were prior to these market changes. And I think they're just doing a really good job of being careful. And again, they have the luxury this year of a cost environment on the inputs that they're not going to lose a lot of money if they don't buy early this year.
Warm weather may change how soon producers will want to get in the field. FBN is working to be prepared as soon as conditions are right.
We procure those products based on the agronomic calendar for a year. And now the weather's been nice and people are itching to get started. We still think it's a little early, but we're getting calls every day. When is my stuff going to get here? When can I get access to it? So we're hustling to get the inventory in the right warehouse so that when it is go time, we're ready and they're ready.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network.
Traders took risk premium out of the grain markets yesterday. Midwest Market Solutions President Brant Hoops says the winter wheat market was the pressure over the entire grain complex.
The downside is being led by wheat. We saw a very poor export sales number, about 3 million bushels. And it shouldn't be surprising, given that we had cancellations last week. We also had another cancellation this week of 264,000 metric tons. So I would fully expect next week's wheat sales to be disappointing or very poor as well. And the wheat market is factoring some of this in. As far as winter wheat conditions go, they're really good. They didn't improve this week in the state by state good to excellent ratings, but boy, the crop looks just tremendous so far. And so if we can continue this growing season, it's going to be such a difficult task to try and move wheat higher based off of any type of crop threats in the U.S.
Russian wheat also keeping a lid on the prices.
From an export standpoint, I think as long as this war continues between Russia and Ukraine, and Russia is able to produce a wheat crop, they're going to continue to sell that as cheap as possible into the world market so that they can fund their war. So it's going to be hard for wheat to try and participate in any rallies.
Money Farm owner Allison Thompson said the livestock market, though, had an ugly, tough day yesterday.
So not exactly. Oh, awful day. Yeah, down a few dollars across the board. Hogs as well were down, and I have a feeling a lot of that is stemming from just outside markets. We're continuing to see a strong economy, jobless claims, retail reports were out today, followed with CPI earlier this week, and we did see stocks trade higher initially, but once they kind of read through the reports, we did see them turn lower today. So I have a feeling that's more or less what's probably pressuring a lot of commodities as well. We did have the dollar also trading back above 103 today, which doesn't help our export demand outlook.
RCM Ag Services market analyst Steve Wagner said the move was a needed correction in the livestock.
We got to the 190 market, 190 mark, 190 27 on the April cattle. I, you know, I don't think cattle are over, but I think we're seeing the market take a bit of a breather. The boxes haven't broken, the cash hasn't broken, but the futures need to catch their breath.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council is wrapping up a trade mission to Uzbekistan. Research and Promotion Council Chair Tom Fritsch says there have been several connections made in the animal ag industry.
We've been meeting with poultry producers, dairy, universities, you know, pretty much everybody in the industry, and they're all very excited, and they all want to, they all want Minnesota soybeans and meal. The beans themselves eventually to crush. It's a very big market over here. You know, right now they're importing about 300,000 metric tons of soybean meal, with a potential of, you know, around 1.2 million, and that's not taken into any account the growth and increase of the product in their rations. I'm looking forward to just continuing to meet with the end producers, some grain buyers, and the people that can help make it happen to get Minnesota soybeans over here.
And there are a few hurdles to consider when looking to expand the market for U.S. soybeans in that country.
Big one's rail cars. We need rail cars. And there's a couple different avenues that we can go that way. He's going to help look into it and help us open the doors we need to.
The Specialty Soya and Grains Alliance elected Gail Donkers of the Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council and Brian Sievers of the Illinois Soybean Association to fill two vacant seats on their board. Bob Sinner with SB&B Foods was reelected as the Specialty Soya and Grains Alliance chair. SGA's annual meeting was held in conjunction with the Transportation Go conference, which was held this week in Toledo, Ohio. Checking markets before we leave you this morning, we are seeing a mix go here this morning. Wheat in Minneapolis, a penny and 3/4 cents higher at 657. September's up 3. May Chicago wheat is 2.5 higher at 534.25. Kansas City May wheat's up 0.25 cents at 575. May corn down 0.75 cents at 433. July's down 1. New crop December down 1.25 cents at 466.5. May soybeans down 8 cents, 1187.25. August down 8.75. New crop November down 9.25 at 1177.75. And in Winnipeg, May canola is down $2.70 a metric ton, $620.50 Canadian. On the farm calendar, the NDSU sugar beet planter test stand action resumes on Monday. It'll be at Valley United Co-op in Ada. Also, they'll be at Valley Plains Equipment in Crookston, both Monday and Tuesday next week, and then moving on to Hillsboro on Wednesday. Again, that's the NDSU planter test stand schedule. Also coming up next week on Tuesday, the final of three-day estate planning events from South Dakota State University Extension. Again, that'll be held at the Watertown Regional Center, and that gets underway at 10 a.m. and concludes about 4. Design your succession plan for farmers and ranchers in the Devil's Lake area. That'll be next Tuesday as well. That'll be hosted by the Lake Region State College. It starts at 8:30 p.m. This is the Red River Farm Network.